This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. World leaders gather in London this week to face, quote, the greatest challenge to the world economy in modern times. Those words were in a draft of the communique being prepared for the Thursday meeting of the Group of 20, which includes all the world's largest economies. So they more or less agree on what to say, even if they don't agree on what to do. NPR's John Itzde has this preview.
For President Obama, this is an opportunity to show that the U.S. is fully engaged with the rest of the world.
That's Michael Froman, President Obama's Deputy National Security Advisor for International Economic Affairs. He was speaking at a Brookings Institution event yesterday in Washington. Froman and advisors to other leaders have been hammering out a draft agreement for Thursday's summit. It includes strategies for stimulating economies, rescuing banking systems, and reforming financial regulation, issues that President Obama and his administration have been grappling with.
He will be able to go to London and say, here is our global agenda. We each need to take steps in the following areas, and the U.S. has begun to do so.
But Simon Johnson, a former chief economist with the IMF, now a fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, says the draft communique suggests the G20 is not ready to take dramatic steps.
There's language about how we're in the worst crisis since the Great Depression, but if you look at the policies on the fiscal side, on the regulatory side, it's not actually that dramatic. These are not big, bold steps. It's a little bit hard to actually justify the holding of a summit on this basis.
Indeed, the top item in the draft communique is titled Restoring Global Growth Now. But despite a big push for more stimulus from the U.S., the draft focuses on what countries have already done without pledges for more stimulus. That's partly because the Europeans, especially the Germans, fear more government spending could ignite inflation. But the U.S. may achieve its goal of more global stimulus in another way. The draft communique calls for additional resources for the International Monetary Fund to lend around the world. The numbers are still undecided, but could reach $1 trillion. Simon Johnson says that could make the difference between a successful summit and a failure.
I think if they can deliver the money for the IMF, real concrete substance, dollars, cash on the nail by the end of Thursday, then we can call it a success. If they don't, then it's a flop.
Kamal Dervis of the Brookings Institution says the additional funding for the IMF is especially important to developing nations who don't have the money to stimulate their own economies and have based their economic growth on exports.
Unfortunately, because the crisis is so global now, exporting yourself out of it by yourself is not an option. So we have to have this global revival of demand and everybody participating in it.
Japan and the European Union have pledged $100 billion each to boost IMF resources, and the U.S. has suggested it will provide a similar amount. The big question is how much China will contribute, given its huge surplus of foreign reserves. China has indicated that in exchange for a large contribution, it wants a greater voice at the IMF. Kamal Dervis says that makes sense.
We cannot have a G20 with China, India, Brazil at the table and others and think that the IMF can be governed in the old ways.
This is the second G20 summit since the financial crisis erupted. The first was held late last year in Washington, hosted by the Bush administration. The draft communique for the London summit echoes much of what was said then, in addition to calls for greater regulation, more resources for the IMF, and reviving global growth, the leaders will once again pledge to avoid raising trade barriers to protect their economies. Obama advisor Michael Froman acknowledges that after the first summit, most countries failed to live up to that pledge.
No country has been perfect. Everybody is a bit of a sinner, but this is a bit of a revival meeting among sinners.
Whether this G20 summit is judged a success or not, there's little doubt that global economic decision-making is shifting from small, clubby institutions like the G8 to larger, more inclusive groups that reflect the changes in the global economy. John Itzde, NPR News, Washington.